Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our second podcast with Mr. Anthony Fajora. He is a CTO and co-founder of Rootstrap. And we had a previous podcast with Anthony a little while ago, so let's go ahead and get started, please. Anthony, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure being here with you again.
Thank you. Anthony, in case there's some people listening to this podcast who may not have had a chance to listen to the other one, could you kind of give a brief background about yourself again, please? So the highlights of your career and kind of how and where you get started with the script.
Yes, of course. My background is very technical. I've been an engineer and working on software development for years. And I'm CTO and co-founder of Rootstrap. It's a company. We work for large, medium-sized companies in the United States building basically custom software from educational industries, health tech, real estate, all types of industries. If they need something in the field of software development, that's where we do our work.
Okay, cool. Now, the topic of our show is going to be machine learning and IoT. Now, let's get started with that. Can you give us a summary of just how machine learning or ML and IoT industries, how are they creating kind of a confluence with each other? Can you kind of do a deep dive into that, please?
Yes, of course. First of all, I think it's very useful to see both things in a separate way. I mean, on one side, you have machine learning, which can there are different techniques, and you can solve different types of problems that are very difficult with a more traditional approach to software development. So it's all about trying to mimic the way humans think about problems, how we detect patterns, and this is, you know, unlocking a lot of possibilities. Typical problems solved by machine learning, it could be face recognition, anything related to visual recognition, trying to predict things, trying to predict patterns, trying to clusterize or group different events together. And you have all the power of computers nowadays to do that. On a different side of a different discipline is IoT, which stands for Internet of Things, which in its very basic conception is adding intelligence to our day-to-day things. It's you can think about a world of sensors, about a world of things, objects with some level of smartness in them, you know. If we are talking about a city, you can think about, you know, getting information about traffic in real time and do something with that. You can think about, now that we are in the COVID era, we can think about getting measures about CO2 in the air or air quality, or you can have your objects in your house with all types of sensors and responding, you know, for connecting to your mobile app or connecting to your devices and doing things. So how these two disciplines collide it's basically adding more and more processing power to IoT devices. And there are basically two big ways to do that. You can either add this processing power to the device itself, which is called on the edge, and I can talk about that later, or you can have your IoT device sending data, raw data, to the cloud, and you can have machine learning detecting patterns, solving problems in the cloud, and sending a message or a signal back to the device. And that unlocks an incredible amount of possibilities, you know. You have on one side a whole area of study that can solve problems that we couldn't solve before. And we have another area of a study that it's all about creating objects aware of their creativity, entrepreneurs, software engineers, any kind of people, you know, how to combine those two major developments together.
Okay, excellent. Now, what are some examples that you can give of both machine learning and IoT kind of coming together? And which of these industries are impacted? I can talk, you know, my area is in cybersecurity, so I'm kind of well-versed in how AI and ML work together from the standpoint of cybersecurity, you know, like for, you know, threat detection, you know, automation, predicting future landscapes of threat events, and, you know, filtering out for false positives. But what are the other examples in other industries, like supply chain, logistics, transportation? Can you provide some examples, please?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you think about transportation, let's pick an example here. You have kind of endless possibilities, you know. You have all this self-driving technology that's just starting, to be honest, but you have you have cities that today they have all kind of data coming in. You have data about traffic, about traffic lights, about accidents, about where people are going right now. And you can have machine learning optimizing that in real time. You can have, and that's one example that you typically send information to the cloud and you process and you take actions based on that. You can have all type of traffic sensors sending all that data to the cloud, optimized with very, very powerful computers, take some decisions, apply those decisions to real life, measure the results, take feedback, and move the feedback back to our cloud and take that into consideration the next iteration. Optimization is very important on all this. And machine learning works based on, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and optimizing every single time. If you think about cars, you can have, you know, you have your electric car that is capable of driving, but different cars can talk to each other using protocols. And all this is under development, but you can have cars coordinating their communication to optimize the speed that they move across the city. If you are living in an area, in a space where all cars are self-driving, you can have way better, you know, optimization of how you are moving from place A to B. If we are talking about cameras. You can have surveillance cameras for security, and you can use and this is a good example of using information on the edge. You can have cameras detecting people and not identifying people, because if you are not sending that information to the cloud, you can't really know who they are. But you can have different cameras communicating to each other and passing over the footprint of the face recognition and localizing that person, you know, where that person is going to into the store, what that person is doing. We don't know who that person is, but we know that this is the same person that this camera took some images from him 5 seconds ago. And why this is important, other than, you know, security, all these stores where you just walk in and walk out, you know, you can track what people are doing, what objects are picking up, what they are leaving behind, and you can make all the in-store experience smoother. You know, you go to a store, you pick the items that you want, you walk out, you get a discount, the bill directly to your credit card. And I think that those are two great examples, and you can combine that in a number of different ways. You know, you can detect the object that a person is carrying on their bag using RFID, and you know, make the experience of paying much smoother as well. And okay. Let's not forget that we have 5G around the corner, you know, which is going to provide amazing connection speed, and it will boost this whole ecosystem. And there is an estimation of being able to connect 200 billion devices around the world. So it's up to the creativity of the creators what we can do with that.
Okay, excellent. Are there any other examples of machine learning and IoT coming together that you can think of that's going to precipitate here in the near future? Do you see anything happening like with the remote workforce?
I think what happened with what, sorry?
Can you give me another example or two of how ML and the IoT are going to come together? Do you think the remote workforce will have a big impact on this also, seeing that there's not another uptick in COVID, I think? More people will be working from home, so do you think there could be more of an impact mm-hmm. of the IoT and the ML on the remote workforce?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of developments and a lot of creativity to be put into smart homes, you know. Into smart cities as well. There are plenty of opportunities, but you see innovations in smart home appliances every day. I have a really interesting example that comes to my mind right now about making the whole, you know, home experience better. You know, we have had this smart scales for a while, where you can check your weight, you can track that on an app, and I saw a French startup. It's called Mathieu, I think. And what they did was developing a bath mat, you know, that tracks your weight and your body mass, your posture. And you don't have to go actively to the scale to see, to check what's your weight, you know. You use a bath mat every day after you have your shower, and it just tracks information in a very transparent way. All the information goes to an app, and they can eventually, you know, detect problems. Okay, you are gaining a lot of weight. What's happening? Or you have a posture problem, and here are some advices for you. And it happens in a way that you don't really realize, you know. You are just doing the same thing you do every day. And I think that's the key. I heard someone talking about a while ago about transparent software, you know, which is you have software, you have sensors, you have devices that you don't have to proactively go in there and do something. They are just being part of your life and taking measures and just speaking up when there is something to say. And you can have your chair, you know, telling you, okay, you have been here for a lot of hours, but your posture is terrible and you are having problems right now. You can have your bath mat, you know, tracking your weight every day, and you don't know about that. And you're not weighing yourself, but you are having a notification once in a while saying there is a problem in here, and here are our recommendations. I think that more and more of our lives are going to be involved with invisible software, and we're going to, yes, have access to that data, but we can detect patterns with machine learning, and we can, and now I'm talking as a software developer, we can ingest, we can absorb a lot of data, and we can check patterns, we can look for things, and just participate in the life of our users when something important comes up. So I think it's a different approach, it's a different way of seeing things, and here is where I see a lot of, you know, progress and a lot of creativity in the next years.
Excellent. Now, what about the potential reduction in the inefficiencies of these things? And what about the disruptive innovation that machine learning and IoT can take place in the marketplace?
Yes, that's a great question. First of all, I think that you know, one of the main case studies of machine learning over time has been optimization of different things. Why is that? Because if you know what can be what you want to optimize, either you want to optimize, you know, the metric that you choose, you know, it may be price optimization. It may be you might want to optimize revenue, engagement, whatever you want to optimize. You can take decisions, measure the results of the decisions, come back to these metrics, use that as an input, and improve the decision-making machine that you created. So in some way, this is called reinforcement learning. And as humans, we can process certain amount of data and certain amount of and take certain amount of decisions, which is very biased, which is, extremely subjective, but if you can process enough amount of data and you can test that in real time, in the real life, and take any feedback loops back to your main decision-making engine, that's a killer use case of machine learning optimization. So we can talk about optimization of retail price, but we can also talk about optimization about traffic light times. We can talk about optimization of physical activity, about making it very personal, optimization of food ingest. That's the key. You can make something very personalized to one person, or to a supply chain. You can optimize, your providers, how you are sending objects or sending products to your distributors, how you want to create a supply chain where you don't have, you move your stock very quickly. And to me, that's the key, of reducing waste in some ways is the key of optimization.
Okay, excellent. Now, what are the security risks with the AI and, machine learning and artificial intelligence and the IoT? As I said, I can talk from the cybersecurity perspective, about the IoT, but what other security risks are there except other than that there are going to be more connections between virtual and physical objects and that the surface area for the cyber attacker has been greatly increased? Apart from these couple of other security risks, what other risks are out there that we need to be aware of?
I think it's... we have to be very conscious about the data that we're dealing with. If we have a house full of sensors, and back to what I was talking about, invisible software, which implies that you know the person that's living in the house, and you prepare his coffee, you prepare the right room temperature, and that's a lot. You have to know a lot of things about that person. And that's very, very sensitive data. If that kind of information is in the wrong hands, it's a blueprint of how to rob a house. If we're talking about, how a person interacts in the virtual space on the internet, you can have a few actions and you can easily recognize a person to the degree that you can uniquely recognize that person through what he did in the last minutes or hours on the internet. And that information can be used to, very invasive advertisement, or you probably can know that person is an easy target for scammers. There are too many things that you have to be aware of. The basic thing here is that if you have enough information about a person that you can predict his habits, that you can predict what he likes, what he wants, you can predict his behavior, that can be used for good. That can be used for many different things to make his life easier. But in the wrong hands, that can be used for a lot of different, terrible things. And that's information that has to be protected. And that's information that has to be, secured in a very, very strict way. So as we have more smart home devices, I think that we have to be very strict with, what's the approval process for this device? How is this data being handled? How is cryptography playing a role here? How do we make sure that it cannot be subject of a, man-in-the-middle attack or something like that?
Okay, excellent. Now, what is edge computing? I mean, that seems to be another big buzzword that's coming out in the world today, especially in cybersecurity. What exactly is edge computing? And can you give some examples of that, please?
Yes, of course. Edge computing basically is bringing computing power closer to the person, to the device. If we are talking about security camera, we can bring typically cameras. They send their information to a centralized server. With edge computing, you bring computing power to the camera itself, and the camera is just an example. It's basically, and all the big companies like NVIDIA, Intel, AMD, they are actually doing processors that will be embedded into devices. So let's think about an example. If you have a security camera that is monitoring for suspicious activity outside your house, this camera, the typical example is this camera sending images and videos to a centralized server, which is processing that information, either using, machine learning techniques to detect what is a threat and what isn't a threat, or you have an old-fashioned human being looking at the camera, and when something happens where you have suspicious activity, you can sound an alarm. Edge computer means that you have computer vision capabilities, you have a machine learning processor inside the camera itself. The camera can process data, can detect that this activity is suspicious, and can take a decision like sounding the alarm or calling the police. It's all about bringing more processing power to different devices and to different bringing it closer to people.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned something about vision. Do you foresee computer vision taking a part with edge computing?
Yes, totally. There are many things in there. If each device is able to, let's think about traffic and traffic cameras. If you can have each device being able to process video in real time, come up with conclusions, come up with decisions about something simple like traffic light times, and at the same time coordinate with other security cameras in the area, because they are going to be connected to internet. Maybe it's 5G technology, maybe it's not. You can have those changes being done in real time, and you don't really need a centralized server that's absorbing all that data, processing all that data, and sending back instructions. I think it might become much more cost effective. It, you know, it might be, you don't have one central point of failure. You have distributed risks. You can distribute your processing power. If one of these cameras fails, you have another camera taking over. Instead, today, if you have your central monitoring system having problems, everything collapses. So I do see a future where you have more distributed processing power, you have more distributed decision-making processes, and you have more communication and collaboration of devices at the edge, meaning that cameras can talk to each other, sensors can talk to each other, cars can talk to each other. And all this collaboration and communication is going to optimize, you know, all the experiences without having to deal with a very centralized central of truth, let's say.
Okay. Now, what are the main differences between the AIoT, the edge, and the cloud? Do they all like kind of come together, or
yes,
distinct boundaries?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. You know, you can have a lot of processing power at the edge and take decisions, local decisions, but probably you want to to send data back to the cloud and summarize that data, visualize in different ways, aggregate data, and maybe take more strategic decisions, you know? So I see a combination of both. As the processing power of devices goes up, we have the ability to take decisions at the edge because we have machine learning processors at the edge. We have great communication on devices. That's great. That's very efficient. It can do a lot of things. But at the end of the day, you also want to, you know, monitor and aggregate all this data from different devices in some place. So I do see a combination of both living in the future. And when you think about these topics, that you typically think about smart cities, you know, which is a combination of things that you can do. You can have thousands or millions of devices, which can be related to environment, to traffic control, to water quality, to pedestrians, and to different things. And you can make local decisions at the edge, but also you want to see a summary, an aggregation of data in some type of dashboard at the cloud.
Now, do you see the stuff being implemented into cloud platforms like the AWS and Microsoft Azure, or are these tools already available in these cloud platforms?
These platforms are the foundation where we can build all these type of tools on the top of. We can have, you know, some, even though all these platforms, they have government divisions where they work a lot with government software. Maybe it's not suitable for every single country. So I do imagine that a lot of hardware is going to be proprietary and not used. And a lot of people won't want to use Amazon or Microsoft to store all this valuable data. But I do think that these platforms, they are exceptional, and you can, if there are security problems, it's more likely your fault rather than Amazon's fault. So okay. I do think that most people, most countries, most cities are going to rely on these platforms to build their infrastructure to bring together, you know, IoT and machine learning. And also, if you are a developer, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a company, and you want to build something on this space, I think leveraging these technologies, leveraging Amazon or Microsoft, is extremely cost efficient, and it's a no-brainer to me.
Okay, excellent. Now, finally, Anthony, as we wrap up our show, you know, AI, machine learning, their main heart and soul is data. So how much data do these systems really need? And, I mean, how do you optimize them? And what's the role of data in the future for these, for AI and ML?
Yeah, that's a great question indeed. When we're working on a machine learning problem, typically the main problem is that you don't have enough data to be able to create reliable results. So my short answer to your question is, the more data, the better. No data is enough. It's all about how you process that data, how you create data pipelines, how you categorize that data and ingest that data in a way that's useful for you, that creates great results. And the other thing to take into consideration is that data changes over time. If we are talking about your personal routine, it changes over time. So you have to keep collecting data and adapting to your new lifestyle. If we are talking about a city, cities change the whole time. So you have to collect new data, and you can't. You can make the assumption that everything is immutable, you know, that everything will stay the same. You, by design, you have to design everything for continuous change. So the more data we have, the better. Finding ways to use data in a meaningful way is a good problem to have. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's the key takeaway.
Okay, excellent. Well, Anthony, we thank you for your time on the show. We hope to have you again in a future podcast, hopefully next month. I'd like to do another deep dive into AI and machine learning, but perhaps maybe pick another application in which will have an impact, you know, upon society. Thanks once again for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Oh, Anthony, one more question. How should someone reach? What's the best way for someone to reach out to you in case they want a project developed or they have questions about AI or ML?
Of course, we have our website, roostrap.com, or, you know, people can find me on LinkedIn, or, yeah, LinkedIn is probably the, the easier one. And my email is anthony@roostrap.com.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Anthony, and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.